Good morning, church. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Taylor's Tabernacle Live. Welcome to the Taylor family and all our friends through Facebook and YouTube Live. We are streaming from Philadelphia, PA, where Elder Jonathan E. Ford is the pastor. Amen. I think word on the street is it's the anniversary. So we want to wish our pastor and first lady for a happy anniversary. Don't know how long they've been married, but I do know their wedding as a flower girl, so it had to be a very long, long time ago. So we do want to wish them a happy anniversary. We also want to congratulate our sister Alex and our brother Emmanuel, who got married yesterday. You know, continue to keep them in your prayers. You know, what God finds right, the devil hates. So just continue to pray for them that God will uphold them. Amen. I'm going to ask that you guys stand. I'm going to say our prayer. Sunday, you have brought us. We know that being here today is only because your grace and your mercy, Lord Father. Hello. Can you hear me? Ephesians 10 and 13. Amen. Be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty power in his dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after battle, you will still be standing firm. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. Now we're going to call up our praise team for a selection. Amen.
Come on and bless the Lord with me. Come on and bless the Lord with me. Come on and bless the Lord with me. Give the highest praise. Hallelujah.
Are you done? All right.
Thank you for that.
Thank you for that.
Can you guys hear me?
All right. So typically, we bring out the pastor. But as my sister told you guys last week, we do have a special treat. And I thank the pastor for allowing us to, for him to step aside this Sunday and allow 4 to 5 lovely young ladies to give up and share their testimony. Amen. So I know, you know, pray for every individual that comes up here. It's not easy to be up here, as I am up here right now. It's nerve-wracking sometimes. You know, we went back and forth on who would go first. we went back and forth on who should go first. So I'm going to go first. Amen. So y'all pray for y'all favorite deaconess, me, as I'm not all the way prepared. And I'll tell you guys why later, but may the Lord have his way. Amen. So I'm going to try to get up here. Each individual has 5 minutes. If I get too long, give me a sign to wrap it up, okay? So we start off in my mid-20s. I'm not telling you guys my age, but in my mid-20s, I was diagnosed with uterine fibroids, which is a non-cancerous tumor located in your uterus. Fibroids are very common in African-American women. Not going to discuss the symptoms, but just say I experienced a lot of problems and discomfort. I had to undergo a procedure. It was a one-day procedure. I went through the procedure, and I was able to go home that same day. It did give me some relief for maybe about 2 years. And then the fibroids grew back, and they grew back stronger than ever. The symptoms were worse than before, and, you know, something had to be done. Let's just say our guest speaker about 2 weeks ago spoke about the woman with the issue of blood. Let's just say I am her and she is me, and I definitely can relate to that. So I spoke with my doctor. She recommended different alternatives, but mainly said, I think you need to get surgery. So she said that the surgery would take away my chance of ever having children naturally. I'm trying not to put too many details for the men out there, but you guys get it. So, of course, when you think about having kids, that wasn't in my plan. So I'm like, I don't think God wants that for me. So I did everything to avoid the surgery. But then I was so scared of surgery because I never had surgery before. So that I should be thankful to God. I made it all the way up to my 30s, never had surgery. So I was scared. So I basically lived in pain for years due to the fact that I was scared of surgery, and I didn't feel like I wanted that to be my plan. But sometimes God has a different plan. So I spoke with my doctor. I agreed to have surgery. I talked to my family. So the plan was that I would get the surgery, stay overnight one day, and go home. I said, okay. You know, went in for surgery. During surgery, they removed 17 fibroids, the largest one being 13 centimeters. So, again, the plan was to go home the next day. So the next day, I was ready to go, and they came back and said, your blood count is very low. We need to do a blood transfusion. Again, that wasn't in my plan, so I wasn't happy about that. And also, because I'm an overthinker, you know, while I was getting the blood transfusion, my sister was with me, and I said, who blood is this? I said, I know somebody, you know, was being a good citizen and they donated their blood. But I said, who blood is this? I said, they could be a killer for all we know. We don't know. I said, their blood is mixing with my blood. I don't know. So, after the blood transfusion, they said I had to stay another day. So I was upset about that, but I said, okay. So the next day I felt dizzy. And I told the doctor, I said, I'm not feeling too good. He ran some tests. He said, well, everything seems to be fine. You know, basically, you need to go home. So I said, okay, I just kept telling him I didn't feel good. So they said, well, you got to go. So then I called my sister. I said, come get me, because they trying to act like I ain't got nowhere to go. I'm going home. I ain't want to stay here anyway. So my sister said, okay, hold on. I'm calling mommy. So my mom gets on the phone, and I told her, I said, Mom, please, whatever you do, be calm when you come up here. And she said, okay. And then when she came up there, She spoke to two doctors, maybe two nurses, and told them that I was her daughter and I wasn't going home until she felt like I was ready to go home. So I'm going to thank my parents. You know, it's always good. They were advocating for me. And when I count my blessings, they're definitely on the top of the list. So thank you for that. So again, I wasn't going home. My mom said I wasn't going home. She's the doctor. So they ran some more tests. They did another. They drew more blood. And come to find out, my blood count was low again. And I had to get a second blood transfusion. So by that time, I was just in tears. So I said, God, who blood is this? I said, at this point, do I even have any blood left of my own? So that, you know, again, that's what I was thinking. And the Holy Spirit said, you know, it's not about who blood it is that's going to use, it's about the blood that covers you. And he covers me. So, Reverend JC, he preached a message, maybe a month ago about the reputation of Jesus. And I said, I don't know who blood is going in me, but I know the reputation of the blood that's covering me. So, after all that, I was able to get the second blood transfusion and finally, get home. And, that surgery was definitely one of the most painful things I've been through. Again, I never had surgery, so it was very painful. But I went home and I recovered. And Jesus, he kept me during that process. And the reason why I say I wasn't prepared, because about maybe like 3 weeks ago, so I agreed to do the testimony. Sister Leah, she said, you should give your testimony. And I said, okay. I wasn't supposed to. So I said, okay, I'll do it. And then I start experiencing some pain again. So I avoided the doctor like I do. And then my sister said, you have to go, because I just kept complaining of the pain. So I went. She said, I don't see nothing wrong, but she said, I want you to get an ultrasound, you know, just in case. So automatically, I just was like, oh, my goodness, I have to go through this again. So I didn't tell nobody too much. So I did call my mom, and she, I talked to my mom about it. I said, you know, I'm frustrated. I've been going through this for so long. It just seems like, you know, I'm tired. And my mom kept saying, just pray about it. You got to tell God what you want. Just pray. And then on that phone call, y'all deaconess said, you know what, mom? I'm tired of talking to him. I said, he's not hearing me. I'm just tired. I don't want to talk to him no more. And that was God. And I think that's when I realized I was mad at him. And I can admit I got mad. And so even my mom went silent. I don't even think she knew what to say. It was the phone was just like blank. So when I got off the phone, I'm going to try not to tear up. When I got off the phone, I said, you know what? I'm not giving my testimony. Because you didn't fix it. You didn't fix the problem. And during my time with God, the Holy Spirit came and said, you not giving your testimony shows your lack of faith in me and God. He said, he already showed you who he is. So you should not doubt him. So I prayed to God. I said, God, I'm mad at you. He said, I already know. He knows us. That's the good thing. He knows us. I said, I just want you to take away the pain. I said, I'm tired of going through this. And I want you to take it away. And 3 days later, the pain was gone. And I told my sister, I said, oh no, I just was in all this pain. And I said, it's not here anymore. I said, I don't know what happened, but I do know what happened. You know, I asked God to take it away. And although I didn't go through with the ultrasound yet, I had faith that everything's going to be okay, that when I do get the ultrasound. So I just want to encourage, you know, every woman out there, continue to just trust in God, believe in him, and he will come through and he will keep you strong. All right. So that is my story. Amen. So next we're going to have your real favorite deaconess, Sister Mary Reckless.
Psalm 77:11 says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. After giving birth to my daughter, I developed hepatitis. I ended up in the hospital for 2 weeks. She ended up going home with her father and her nana. God brought me through that crisis. Hallelujah. Then my son, at the age of 16, had a complete kidney failure. He was placed on dialysis. He was told that he probably would never have children. The Saturday before Christmas, not Christmas, excuse me, the Saturday before Easter, he got a fever. Rushed him back to the hospital. Easter Sunday, they told me they was removing the catheter because his kidneys had begun to work. And he has a son, and he had a child, my son. Most of you know Trey. God brought me through that crisis. My son died last year at the age of 58, never went on dialysis again. God had healed him. I came through that crisis. Then there was my husband, who had a spot on his kidney. God removed that, and he took care of that. Then there's me. I had a double knee surgery replacement years ago. It was good, and then it wasn't. My knee's been operated on 4 times. The third one almost took my life. I was rushed to the hospital. The doctor told me that he was going to have to do surgery because I had a bad infection. He said he had a seminar that weekend and that he would do the surgery on Tuesday. Sunday morning, he was standing at my bed. He said I had a delay in my truck. He said the plane was delayed and something told me I needed to come back and do your surgery today. God, I don't think that I probably would have made it to Tuesday. He told me when he put me under, I was calling the name of Jesus. That's all I had to pull on and to help me. God, please help me. I came through that. I was in the nursing home. I had to put a block in my leg. He told me that the block was to hold the space open so that they could put a rod in, so that I'd be able to walk. I was in the nursing home for 5.5 months. The day that I was supposed to be released to go home to prepare for my surgery, I got another infection. I had to be rushed back to the hospital. Psalms 41 says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. The night before I was supposed to be released from the nursing, I was in the hospital with another infection for about a week. They released me back to the nursing home. I was scared. I didn't know because Dr. Ahn had said that I was running out of time, and he really didn't want me to end up in a wheelchair. Isaiah 41:13 says, "For I am the Lord your God who holds your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." I was finally released to go home and was scheduled for surgery. Another setback. Because I carry a sickle cell trait, my blood count was too low. They couldn't do the surgery. I had to have blood transfusion. I had a series of blood transfusions to build my blood up so that I could have the surgery. Isaiah 41:10, "Do not fear, for I am with you. I do not be dismayed, for I am your God, and I will strengthen you and help you." My blood count finally got up to the number that he needed. I went in for surgery, and it was a success. Then I went home, which is Texas, San Antonio, Texas. I had a fall. I came back, went for x-rays. The bar had broke. He told me he's going to have to go in, remove the rod, and he was hoping he could find another one long enough to fit my leg. You see, because the infection had ate up all the bone in my leg, so I didn't have any bone. So he searched. He said he found one he thought he could work with. Thank God. He always said to me, he said, "You have strong faith. Hang in there." He found the rod, and he did the surgery, and that was a success. Then 2 Sundays ago, I fell again, right outside the church. Poor Gabe was with me. He went for help. I haven't went to the doctor because I'm standing on my faith. I feel that God has me, and I think that I'm okay. I'm praying that I'm okay. I'm just trusting and believing, because I believe that all things are possible with God if only you believe, and I do believe. I remember 2 Corinthians 12:8-9, when Paul speaks about having a thorn in his side that tormented him. He said he asked God to relieve it from him 3 times. God told him his grace was sufficient for him. So I've come to understand that there are some things in life that you just have to accept that it's God's will. So I hold on to that thought. Mine is my right leg. So I'm just holding on for every day. Every day morning I get up, I thank God I put my feet on the floor that I'm able to walk. I will forever, ever praise the Lord. He is my Savior. And I will never, 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 never give up. Thank you.
Another hand clap. All right. We have next our sister Jessica Lyons.
Good morning. You're like, what is Jessica gonna say? But I do hope, you know, what I share can help anyone going through something similar, or, you know, see the signs of someone who could be going through it as well. Now I know a lot of us, like, you know, don't like to look in the past, but looking back on it, it was quite obvious that, you know, 2020 was just not any of our year. We experienced quarantine, some of us job loss, family loss, sickness, recovery, whatever it is, we all went through something that year. For me, and I'm gonna keep it honest, I was depressed, plain and simple. I was really struggling to grasp the situation we were all in, and I just didn't know how to deal with any of it. I was social in school, so not being able to interact with any of my friends was really hurting me. Trying to learn at home and not in the classroom was really hard for me, and I just couldn't get a hold of it. At that point, I felt like I was just going through the motions of the day, you know, wasting away by doing the same things over and over. Truth be told, I was just trapping myself, you know, not only in my home, where I'm supposed to be safe at the time because we're quarantining, you know, you're not around anyone, but I was also trapped within my spirit as well. My grades were slipping really, really bad, and I had teachers, you know, checking up on me to see if I was okay because of how unresponsive I was in the classroom. I was bored all the time, every single day. You know, I just like drowning in the thoughts of what could happen if I get the virus, if my family does, you know, if my friends, if my dad were to get sick, you know, what me, my mom and my sister going to do. And I wasn't sure if we'd ever, you know, get back to normalcy again. I was overthinking and just digging this hole for myself where I was just really suffering. But of course, silently, because I wouldn't talk to anyone about it. I would try so hard to make sure that no one could ever tell how I was feeling. Not my parents, not my sister, not any of my friends. And of course, my mom is checking up. She's like, oh, how's your friends? I'm like, good, yeah. You know, automated response, you know, how's school, how's class? Good, good. In reality, I'm not speaking to like any of my friends because I felt like I had nothing to say, nothing to, important to contribute to the conversation. If they were to ask me how I was, I would have to ask them how they were, and I didn't know what to respond with. The worst part about it was that at no point did I try talking to God. I sat there, you know, one night, I checked my grades, and I just broke down in tears. I was doing horrible in almost every single one of my classes. Maybe in one class I was doing good in, but I was on the brink of failure in a couple, and I just was breaking down. I was crying. I was frustrated because I didn't know, like, what to do at that point. I never had let it get that bad before ever, so I was just like, you know, what do I do? And, of course, I was upset because no one else knew what was going on, but that was my fault because I didn't try talking to anyone. So I just started crying to God. I was praying over and over again, you know, for guidance in some way to fix the mess I was in, without realizing that I needed to ask for, you know, prayer over my own well-being first and fix myself before I tried to fix, you know, my situation. And just stop worrying about everything else that was going on around me. And I couldn't really work on myself without asking God for help first, and that was the issue I was struggling with. Once I realized that, I knew exactly what to say to him. I'd always struggled with praying. I always felt like I never knew how to pray. I was praying wrong because half the time, you know, I felt things weren't working, but I just wasn't being vulnerable enough or just expressing how I was truly feeling, and that's when I learned right then and there. You know, I started praying more consistently. I talked to my mom finally, even though she kind of knew. She was asking questions like, oh, you okay? I'm like, yeah. And she's like, no, you're not. I'm like, oh, I am, you know. But she knew. I emailed teachers, and, you know, they explained what was going on. They understood because I realized it was happening to a lot of people my age that year. A lot of my friends were struggling with similar things, but I didn't know because I wasn't speaking to any of them. The teachers worked with me. I worked with them. And I got it together. It took a while. I almost didn't, you know, pass. But clearly it worked out because I did graduate. You know, I had the 4.0 GPA. Yeah. And, you know, I'm in college now. So I realized, you know, sometimes your situation is going to get to a point where it's just really, really bad. And you need to just pray about it because it will turn around. And none of it would have been possible without God.
Another hand clap. Next, we're going to have our lovely sister, Shalia Davis. Amen.
Good morning, church. I'm going to ask y'all to bear with me because Jessica just did something to me. Ooh. sorry. Ooh. So leading up to this day, I actually had no idea what to share as my testimony. I know I have a testimony, but I didn't know what would be too much or what would be too little. And to be honest, the vulnerability scared me. So I wanted to back out, but I didn't want Shanita to hurt me. But I also didn't want to miss the opportunity to possibly be a blessing to someone who could benefit from what I have to share. So this is what I came up with actually last night. My entire life to me is a testimony. Me standing here before you all is a testimony. Because the cards I was dealt with, it should have destroyed me or at least deterred me. But God, only by His grace am I able to stand before you the woman that I am today. Oh, gosh. I grew up in poverty, surrounded by drugs and drug abuse. I vaguely remember even having a childhood. By the age of 12, I was the parent of the house. I survived abandonment, molestation, not knowing where my next meal would come from sometimes. I suffered through winters with no heat or hot water. I had broken windows in my bedroom. The only thing that kept me from actually feeling like I was outside were layers of plastic that I would tape to the window each year. So when the temperatures got, you know, below zero or below freezing, there wasn't much that my little space heater could do, you know. I'm sorry, y'all. I remember having to heat up water on a hot plate to bathe with. So I say that to say that the odds were stacked up against me really, really high. But I'm glad I knew God. Back then, I didn't have a church home, and I didn't attend church regularly. But even as a little girl, I still had a relationship with God. I remember my mom would say, walk by faith and not by sight. And that's something that always stuck with me. And I always held on to that. Matthew 17, verse 20 says, so Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. I wanted more out of life. And I knew life had more to offer than what I was surrounded by. So I held on to my faith and I would pray. I would ask God to please stay beside me, to guide me and to carry me when I got too weak to walk on my own. I refused to accept my circumstances. I knew God had a purpose for my life. So I fought. Despite emotional abuse I endured, I fought. Despite the depression I suffered, I fought. I went from working in retail to getting my foot into the corporate world. I was then able to move on my own, and I supported myself through college up until meeting my husband, as most of you know. I am now a registered nurse working at Penn Medicine. I have a beautiful family, my husband and now her son Zane. I have custody of my sister who we're now supporting through college. And I am here to say that nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is too small to place in his hands. Give yourself to him and it will change your life. The cost of your breakthrough may just be faith. I thank God that I don't look like what I've been through. I thank God for not allowing me to become a product of my environment. I thank God for not forgetting little old me. I don't know why I had to endure what I went through at such a young age. But I thank God for making my life a testimony of how good and how faithful he is. Amen. Who needs some tissue? All right. Last but not least, we have y'all real favorite deaconess. Sister Helena.
Good morning. I mean, each and every testimony definitely shows you how good God is. And so I'm going to share my testimony. It might be a little long. You said 5 minutes. I think mine's a little bit longer than that. I tried to break it down as much as I could, but it was some good stuff that God showed me through my time. And so God said that he would make us a living testimony. So I stand here today because of his grace and his mercy, proclaiming that he is more than able to do anything that we ask or think according to his will. On February 14th, 2022, I went to the hospital for my first colonoscopy. After the procedure, I received the most devastating news that they found a mass and that it was cancerous. I was heartbroken and I didn't know what to do or what to think. I told my children and they were so positive and told me that I would be okay. So for the next day or so, I was in a daze, stunned by the news. I threw the paper on my dresser, and it was up there until I reached out to one of my friends, Cassandra, and she lives in South Carolina. And she said to me, well, what are you supposed to be doing for the follow-up? I said, I don't know. I didn't even look at it to find out. So she encouraged me to go over, get the paper, see what I needed to do. And I did. During this time, I felt embarrassed. I was discouraged, and I was upset. I felt like I had been betrayed. And I wasn't sure why. I am not perfect, but I believe I've always tried to eat right. I walk, I exercise when I can. I try to help people. I try to serve God. So to me, it was just very disappointing. At this time, as it was time to go for my first appointment with the surgeon, my daughter came with me. And I can remember her saying, everything is going to work out. Her statement to me was, in order to have a positive outcome, you have to have a positive outlook. So I trusted her words, and I knew that was what was required, because whatever you feed your body, that's what your body feeds off. So after being scheduled for surgery, the surgeon had to go before a board to make sure that that was the best option. But after going before the board, the plan was changed, and they referred me to an oncologist and told me that I would have to do chemotherapy because the tumor was so large that they didn't want it to spread as they were trying to operate on it. So it was best for me to go for chemotherapy first. And I was not a happy camper. My life was taking a whirlwind turn and I was scared. But I heard the words one morning come to me and say, whose report will you believe? And I knew that God was speaking to me through his words. So for the next 4 months, I was literally fighting for my life. I started chemotherapy the day before my birthday, April 7th. And when we went in for this appointment, and we seen the dates, my daughter was like, you want to take the first appointment? And I kept on saying, well, that's the day before my birthday. I want to celebrate my birthday. But she said to me, She said, I would rather you get started and that you so that you would have more birthdays that you could celebrate. And so for the next few months, the fight was on to live. Psalms 118 and 17 says, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. I must say chemo is not for the weak, because with each treatment, it gets more intense, especially with all the possible side effects, hair loss, weight loss, your body rejecting it, and so many more. I knew that I would have some effects, but I prayed to God that I wouldn't lose my hair. Me being a teacher, I just didn't want to have to answer all the questions from the students. I was going through enough mentally, physically, and spiritually. He answered my cry. I thank God because I had few reactions to the chemo. And to God be the glory. This was definitely a time of trial and tribulation, but God sent me help. I asked God for signs along the way, and he sent me them. I met so many people who had cancer, and believe it, every story that God brought me, they were delivered. And I know there's some stories out there where people weren't, but all the people that God sent me showed me that they were delivered. And so I knew that that would be my outcome. So after completing 7 treatments of chemo, I was headed to surgery. I believe that 7 is completion, and I was done by now. With all the ins and outs of chemo, the tests, the scans, taking shots after chemo to make sure that your white blood cells is up. So not only are you taking chemo, but after chemo, for 3 days after that, you have to give yourself shots. That I was scared to death to give myself the shot. The first shot, I couldn't even give myself. So I called Sister Rayetta, and she came over, and she said, I'm going to show you how to do it. And she just stuck it up like, oh, that's it. And then after that, I was able to do it. But I just thank God for giving me that good support system of people just coming to my side. So on the 8th month, which I call my new beginnings, I was scheduled for surgery on August 15th. Again, I was not looking forward to it, but I realized that this would be the completion of everything. So I remember on that day patiently anticipating surgery. And that morning, I remember talking to Sister Rayetta, and she came over to my house, and she bought an oil, and I call it, it's some amazing oil. But she prayed over me, and then I went for surgery. And that day, I was calm. And I was surprised that I was so calm as I was going to surgery, because prior to that, I was just scared to death. And I kept telling my son, I was like, I want to know how long I'm going to be in surgery. He was like, why do you want to know? He said, you ain't going to be up anyway. It wouldn't matter. And so I just thank God that my children were there and they were just so calm, and my older son as well. And so my daughter, I call her the one as calm as a cucumber. She went with me, and I remember her again saying to me as I was headed to surgery that I was going to be okay. And then in a quiet voice, I heard the words again, whose report will you believe? And I whispered to myself, yours, God. And after about, I believe, 6 hours of surgery, the tumor was removed, and they found some on my kidney, and that was removed as well. And that is the reason why the tumor seemed like it was so large, because it was like at the end of the colon going on to that. So when I went in for the colonoscopy, they weren't even able to finish the colonoscopy. They had to come back out because they seen the tumor. So I stand here today as a witness that God is Jehovah Rapha. He is our healer. He not only healed me physically, but he had to heal me mentally and spiritually as well. I want to thank my children, who were my biggest cheerleaders, for helping me get through this, because it wasn't easy. My sister and friend Rayetta, my friend Cassandra, my spiritual mother, I call her Reverend Mad, she would just call and just pray me through it. My girlfriend Eileen, I thank the pastor and first lady and all the deacons and deaconess, my siblings, all my cousins, my dear friend, my neighbor, Miss Carol, she made sure after every treatment that I ate, because I had a very poor appetite, so she would just come over, and she's an older lady in her 70s, but she would just make sure that I ate and that I was on the right road, and I just thank God for that. So in closing, I want to thank you, even for the ones that I didn't name, because I didn't tell everybody, because this was a battle, and God selected a few that I needed to tell, because like my daughter said, in order for me to have a positive outcome, I needed to have positive income. So I needed positive energy around me to be able to get through to the other side. And so I didn't purposely exclude anyone. It was just what the plan that God had for me. So in closing, I went through a lot to get to this point, but I thank God that I don't look like what I went through. I'm 1 year and 6 months cancer free. I felt every prayer, and I am so grateful to God, and I owe him my life. I am a walking and living miracle. God still heals, no matter what the problem is. Trust him. And I just want you to keep me in prayer, as when you go through cancer, people think it's over when the surgery is over. People think it's over when you have the surgery and the chemo's done. But this is a lifelong battle. And so this week will be my 6 months, and I go back again because you have to get scans to make sure everything is clear. But I know, like Sister Leah said, I know that I'm healed. I know that God is able to do all things but fail. And so, and we have to trust him. Trust that he's going to work everything out for our good, no matter what the situation is. No matter what the situation or circumstance is, God can heal you. He can heal your mind. He can heal your body. He can heal your spirit. And so I just thank God today, just standing here, holding on to his promises, that every scan that I go through, I'm going to still be clear. I got to go through it because that's my testimony to show others. As I was going through this time, I met up with so many people, but one person that stuck out in my mind was, I was walking down the street one day, and I love Burlington Coat Factory. And so I was up at 69th Street, and I kind of was out of it, but I was walking, and a man stopped me, and he said, "Can I pray for you?" And I'm like, okay, you know, God must have sent him. So I sat there, and I prayed with the man, and the man began to pray, and the man began to speak things into my life. The man didn't know what I was going through. He said, "I don't know what you're going through." And so he prayed for me, and when he finished praying, I began to tell him my testimony. And he said to me, he said, "I'm going to pray with you," because the next day was my chemo appointment. And that was my third chemo appointment. And I said, I believe in numbers. And when I got to that third chemo appointment, I know that he fasted and prayed because I had no reactions from the chemo that time. No reactions. With other ones, I had reactions. This was the only one that I had no reactions. I mean, no reactions, nothing. And so I thank God for that. And then he told me the name of his church was Faith and Miracle. And that sealed the deal because I knew that that was God. Three is God's number. Seven is the thing of completion. And eight, I believe, is new beginnings. And so he gave me those along with other testimonies. And so, like I said, I'm just grateful to God. I'm just grateful to God today for his healing.
Amen, amen. Can we give everyone a hand clap who came up here and shared their testimony? And then I'm going to ask you guys to stand because I think God deserves all the praise and the honor right there. So hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for every woman who came and gave their testimony today. It seemed like a common theme was faith. Faith and just that God can do it. So while you're standing, I'm going to ask for a song. I can't sing, but I'm just asking for a congregational song of "How Great Is Our God." Y'all help me out. Barb, you want to help me? Is our God? Sing with me. How great is our God? 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 Sing with me. How great is our God? All the sea, how great. How great is our God? Keep saying as you...
Okay, Bart.
Okay, sorry.
You're the name above all names. He's worthy of our praise. And my heart will sing how great is our God. How great is our softly. I'm going to ask if some of our female deaconess would come forward. I want to open, have altar call. Maybe you are one who's going through a test. In order to have a testimony, you have to go through a test. So I want to open up the altar for anyone who needs prayer. Maybe you're going through a test right now and you just need some encouragement. Maybe your faith is weak, and as you've seen everyone up here, know that faith is what kept us. So if you do or you would like prayer, you can come forward and receive it. Amen. My God, sing with me how great is our God. All will see how great. How great is our God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. How great is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God. Oh, see how great is our God. The name above all names, He is worthy of our praise, and my heart will sing how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me how great is our God. All will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me how great is our God. All will see how great is our God. You're the name above all names. You're worthy of our praise. And our heart will see how great is our God. The name above all names, and you're worthy of our praise. And my heart will sing how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me how great is our God. All will see how great is our God.
How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? Oh, we'll see how great, how great is our God? You're the name of our God. Sing with me, how great is our God? Oh, we'll see how great, how great is our God? How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? Oh, but see how great is our God? How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? Oh, but see how great is our God?
You're the name.
You're the name above all names. And he's worthy of our praise. And our heart will sing, how great is our God. The name above all names. And you're worthy of our praise. And our heart will sing, how great is your God. The name above, and our worthy of our praise. And our hearts will sing, how great is our God. Great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God.
Thank you, Jesus. Let's give God a hand clap. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. And now we're going to transition our... Okay, now we're going to open the doors of the church. Amen. If anybody in here needs a church home, Taylor Tabernacle is where God is. Amen. As you heard, all our women today, we are spiritually led by our pastor, Jonathan Ford. So if you do need a church home, the church are open. Amen. Now we're going to transition the service, okay? We're going to have our sister Courtney Scott come and do the offering. Amen. Good morning, church. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, you may give through one of five ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, Venmo, Cash App, or also by using the U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text message, text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256. Again, that number is 73256, and you will receive a link with instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send a check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box
6309 Philadelphia, PA 19139. To give via Venmo, you can give @Taylor-Tabernacle-6309 and Cash App $Taylor Tabernacle. And for those who are gathered with us in the sanctuary, you will find two offering baskets next to the side ramp door for your tithes and offering, and one for the pastor. Please place your sealed envelopes in the baskets as you exit. You may also give an offering to our pastor, in his absence, via Cash App or Venmo. Cash App $Pastor Jonathan Ford and Venmo @Jonathan-Ford-25. And I believe that is all. Turning the service into the hands of our sister Tina.
Morning, church. The pastor and leadership team would like to thank you for joining this Sunday. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook and YouTube so that you may continue to join us in worship from your home. Remember to hit subscribe right here on the YouTube page or follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle so that you are informed and update with all of the upcoming gatherings and dates. If you are not receiving our weekly emails, please send your new email address and we will add you to our list. Thank you. When you decide to join us for in-person worship, please take your temperature before leaving home and bring a mask to wear. If you or someone in your family has had contact with anyone who has COVID, the COVID virus, we encourage you to please stay at home. Every first Sunday, we will gather at 8:30 in person for corporate prayer, followed by morning worship at 10 a.m. Wednesday night prayers and Bible studies at 7 p.m. via Google Meet. Sunday school from 8:30 to 9 o'clock via Google Meet. We look forward to seeing your child every second, third, fourth, and fifth Sundays. Pastor Ford's YE Challenge. March 28th, Holy Thursday. Passover Seder with Pastor Ford and Rabbi Strauss. Thursday, Passover Seder and Pastor Ford and Rabbi Strauss, 7 p.m. in person. Church Sanctuary. Refreshments provided. We were all asked that you all come in communion attire. March 29th, Good Friday, last 7 days of sayings of Jesus Christ on the cross, 7 p.m., Google Meet. My apologies. I guess the tears are still in my eye from everyone's testimony this morning. March 30th, Women's Ministry presents Brunch and Boards, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All women are invited to join us for Brunch and Boards in person. Church Sanctuary, $5. I'm looking forward to that. Outstanding. March 31st, Resurrection Sunday, Easter. Please join us for worship and to hear Pastor Ford's sermon, Women of Resurrection, 10 a.m. in person, Church Sanctuary. In the month of April, April the 4th, Pastor Ford begins a month-long sermon series includes Life in God's Garden. Sunday, April the 14th, we need everyone's help planting new seeds in the garden following morning service. please dress accordingly. We will have seedlings available to purchase. Purchase for your home garden. I apologize. Lunch will be provided Saturday, April the 27th. Turn in the tide. Lunch and learn. Preservation. Presentation. Adult literacy. Digital literacy. Employment assistance and more. This event will take place at Church of Calvary Church, 500 South 61st Street, 10 a.m. through 12 p.m. Lunch will be provided. Pastor Ford is asking everyone to give $100 to Turn in the Tide during the month of April during our Sunday service offering collection or via the link below. Okay. Turn in the Tide Philly .org/donate now. Thank you.
Amen. So just to touch base, we do have our brunch and boards event this upcoming Saturday. It's $5. I hope to see everyone there. The money is due by tonight. We need to know how many boards we need to purchase as well as how much food to buy. So I'm looking forward to seeing you guys all next Saturday. Amen. So please take all the announcements and govern yourself accordingly. I know the pastor would like you all to be present. Yes. What? Sorry, it's wrong on the announcements. The event is from 11 to 2. Sorry. No, who put 1? It wasn't me. It was from 11 to 2. All right. That's all I have. You say I gotta do the benediction, Lord. So yeah, the pastor can't be off the next time I'm the literature, so I know that. All right. So we're gonna have everyone stand. All hearts and mind are cleared. I hope that you guys enjoy the rest of your Sunday. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for another Sunday, Lord. We thank you for every individual in this building today, Lord Father. I ask that you give us traveling mercies home safely. We thank you for this service, Lord. We thank you again for what you have done in our lives, Lord Jesus. Every person in here is a testimony, Lord Jesus. Every person in here shows how you are great and you continue to be great, Lord Jesus. You can do no wrong. We glorify your name, Lord Jesus. We thank you. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Continue to lift us up, Lord Jesus. Forgive us, Lord Jesus. For when our faith is low, Lord Jesus, we should trust you because you always prove us that you're always on top, Lord Jesus. So continue to be with us. Keep our pastor, Lord Jesus, in his absence. In Jesus' name, amen. And we'll see you next Sunday. Also, it is Palm Sunday today. We do have some pounds. Y'all not excited.